We have been involved in a series of lessons entitled The Armor of God. And tonight we're presenting the fifth lesson in this particular series. We have found thus far that we are in a spiritual battle, a battle of the forces of God against the forces of Satan. We have also understood that if you and I will put on our spiritual armor, that you and I will be well protected from the evil one. If we will wear it correctly, properly, at all times, it will be impossible for the evil one to overtake us with any of his evil tactics. Tonight, the description of the piece of armor that we're going to be studying begins with these three words. Above all, take. Notice those first two words. Above all. Some individuals believe that this particular piece of armor is the most important of all the pieces that you and I could have with us. It is elevated, it is lifted up, it is placed over and above all of the others. And whether that be the case or not, I do know this, that this one piece of armor is our front line of protection against the evil one. Notice secondly that he says that we must take this piece of armor. We've studied three pieces so far, and every one of these pieces we wear. He tells us that we must gird ourselves with the truth. We have a belt that is wrapped around us. We have to put on the breastplate of righteousness. We shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, but we must take this piece of armor. Paul writes in Ephesians 6, verse 15, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Tonight we're studying the shield of faith. Let's begin by talking about a little bit of the background of this shield. The Roman soldiers used many different kinds of shields. I don't know if you've ever watched the movie The Gladiator or not, but in that movie you see some of those shields. One of them was a very small, round shield that they would use especially in their training maneuvers. It would only protect an individual from the blows of a sword. That is not the shield that the Apostle Paul makes mention of in this particular text. The word that is used for this shield is scutum. S-C-U-T-U-M. Its root word literally means door. Because when you look at this shield, it had the resemblance of a door. It was a huge shield. It was about 3.5 to 4 feet tall and anywhere from 2.5 to 3 feet wide. That's a pretty large rectangle, is it not? On the edges, it was slightly curved. That soldier could plant that shield on the ground. He could squat behind it, press his body up against it, and the entirety of his body would be shielded from the blows of the enemy. It was composed of three pieces of wood, glued together, one on top of another. And on top of that third piece, there was a piece of very thick leather that was also plastered upon that shield. Right in the very center, there was a knob, and that knob is referred to as a boss. That shield was something that could be set aside. That shield was something that could be easily removed from the soldier. And when he went out to war, he had to make dead certain that he went and picked it up and wielded it in the battle. He could move it forward and backward. He could move it from side to side. He could move it up and down. It was up to him to wield that shield against all the blows of the enemy. Something that's interesting about this shield was that it could protect an entire squad of men. All of those that were located on the outside could have their shields placed on the ground, side by side, one with another. And folks, they formed a wall around that group of individuals. Those soldiers that were in the middle, they would lift those shields up over their head, and there would be an entirety of a ceiling over those individuals. One individual described this particular formation as a formidable human tank. If those individuals desired to move, the command was given, and that squadron could move from one place to another. Very simply, could it not? And every individual in that squadron would be protected. The name of that formation was known as a testudo formation. T-E-S-T-U-D-O. A human tank. There's some of the background with regard to that Roman shield. Folks, it was huge. It was big. And it would protect the soldier when he went out into battle. But secondly, let's talk for a moment about the fiery darts of the wicked. Every army had numerous different kinds of darts that were used. When you look up the word dart in the Greek, it literally means missile. But they didn't have the ability to fire missiles like we do today. But they were arrows. They were darts, and they could do all types of things with those tips. And oftentimes, they would dip those tips into tar, light those, and fire those through the air. Not only would the soldier's body be pierced, but it would be burned severely if it were hit. Darts. Not just one, not just two, but sometimes hundreds of arrows would fly through the air. The enemy would have 50, 60, 100, 200 archers in their squadron, and they would fly those arrows, one right after another, sometimes 200 or 300 or 400 in the air, all at one time. And if a soldier did not have that shield, he would be wounded or killed very, very easily. My friends, our enemy today still has darts, does he not? And he has all kinds of missiles that he can throw our way. And he has all kinds that can wound us and that can literally destroy us. What kind of darts does he have? Well, he has the darts of lust, like he used against David when he walked upon the king's roof. He has the missiles of pride that can enter into a man's heart just like they did Saul of old as he progressed in his kingship. He has the darts of revenge like that one that entered into the heart of Haman who wanted to destroy the entirety of a Jewish nation. He throws against us the darts of doubt just like he did Job in days of old, didn't he? Job sitting there knowing, I have not sinned. I have not transgressed the will of God. I am a righteous man. And yet, all of this affliction has come upon me. And the one question was what? Why? Why? There's the darts of covetousness, like was used against Judas. The darts of envy, used against the Jewish leaders of Jesus' day. Folks, there are all kinds of weapons and darts and arrows that Satan can send our way. Not just one, but literally hundreds upon hundreds that he can throw at us. And if you and I do not have our shield, You and I can be wounded or killed in just a matter of a moment of time. Notice that the Bible says that this shield will quench the fiery darts of the wicked. The word quench means to put out, to suppress, to extinguish. When I think about this shield, the thing that impresses me, it must have been a heavy shield. You know that? 4 feet by 3 feet. Three pieces of wood with leather on the front of it, including a large brass or metal knob placed on the front. Can you imagine lifting that thing? But you want to know what else they did before they went out to battle? They would oftentimes drench the front of that thing completely with water. They knew they're going to be facing fiery darts of the enemy. Those darts would be hurled in the air, and sometimes 3, 4, 10, 12 arrows all at once would strike that shield, and every one of them put out by the shield of the Roman soldier. I want you to listen to what Paul says. And above all, putting on taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye may quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Folks, we're not talking about one. We're not talking about two. We're not talking about three. Every dart that Satan can hurl against us, anything that he has in his arsenal, every one of them can be quenched by the shield of faith. That leads to our fourth point, doesn't it? And it's this: what is faith? Folks, right here is the key to our study tonight. What is faith? Let's define it first. A man comes into a Bible class, and he was a very well-educated individual. In fact, a PhD. He steps before that class and he says, "This morning I want you to tell me what faith is." There's a little lady, she was in her late 80s, sitting about the third row, and she raises her hand. And she says, "Sir, I want you to know that I am not well educated as far as credentials are concerned." She says, "But I have studied my Bible over many, many years." And she says, "My definition of faith is one that is extremely simple. And it is this: taking God at His word." Faith. What a wonderful definition from an elderly lady, isn't it? A missionary on another occasion went to an island in the South Seas, and when he got there, he began to learn the dialect, and he found that there was no one single word among this group of individuals for the word faith. And yet, he needed to talk to these individuals about what faith is, didn't he? And so he listened, and he listened to the people, trying always to come up with a definition that he could use for faith so that these individuals would understand it. Finally, one day, one of his associates comes in from outside, and he had a lounger there in his office. And the associate began to sit down, and he says this: "I'm going to put my full weight in this chair." And it immediately hit the missionary: I now have my definition of faith. And folks, it's simply this: putting my full weight in the hands of God. A wonderful definition of faith. Taking God at His word. Putting my whole weight in His hands. The Hebrew writer defined for us faith, did he not? In Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Two words are powerful in that particular verse. The substance of things not seen. Substance. Folks, faith is the foundation of all things. And a foundation is solid, is it not? A foundation is sure. A foundation is trustworthy. A foundation is that upon which we can build other things. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. But notice what else he says. It is the evidence of things not seen. Oh yes, there are things that we believe in that none of us have ever gazed upon. I've never seen the Son of God. I've never seen the splendors of heaven. I've never seen a man raised from the dead. But I believe that all of those things exist, don't you? Why do you believe that? You believe that because of the evidence that exists for those things. Folks, faith is not just a blind leap into the dark. It is not believing in something that you don't really know exists. It doesn't have any doubt whatsoever therein. It is based upon evidence. Things that are reliable, things that are true, things that are actual. Objects, people, testimony. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. There are some words that revolve around this concept known as faith. Belief, trust, reliance, and obedience. Folks, all of those words are very closely linked to faith. What is faith? Taking God at His word. What is faith? Putting all my weight in the hands of God. What is faith? The substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. What is faith? Belief, trust, reliance, and obedience upon God. Here's the next question. Where does faith come from? Folks, if we're going to be protected, we need faith, do we not? But where do I get it? Where does it come from? And the answer is this, it comes from two places. Most people would say just one, but no, it comes from two places, folks. One of the sources of our faith will give us what I call a partial faith. Not a full faith, not a complete faith, not a perfect faith, but faith nonetheless. What is that? Folks, that's the creation of the Almighty God. If we had nothing else, only the creation of God, you and I could still have faith in God, couldn't we? And there would be three elements to that faith. Number one, I would know that God exists. Number two, I would understand that He is not man, He is divine. And number three, I would understand that He is a powerful, powerful God. How? Just by looking at the creation. Folks, you can look into the heavens and know that God exists. You can walk in the valleys where the rivers flow and know that God exists. You can walk to the highest peaks of the mountains and peer therefrom and know that God exists. You can stand there and witness the powerful storms that rage across our planet and know that a God exists. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Psalm 19, verses 1 through 3. You turn to Romans chapter 1 and verse 20. For the invisible things of Him, The things you can't see, the invisible things of Him, are clearly seen. Folks, that's faith, isn't it? We can see the invisible things. How? By the things that are made. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Folks, you go into the world and you read about the native Indians, don't you? They didn't have a Bible. They didn't have the Old and New Testaments. And yet, guess what they believed in? They believed in a God that existed. Where did that come from? Folks, that came from their knowledge of the creation. That's where that came from. So I can have a partial faith just by the creation of the world. But secondly, my faith is made perfect through the Word of the living God. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10:17. Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And that believing you might have life through His name. John 20:30-31. God revealed His Word to us so that our faith could be full, complete, perfect, mature, full grown before God Almighty. So there's where we get our faith, from the creation and from the Word of God. But what was it that Paul said? Paul said this, folks: take the shield of faith. Take the shield of faith. You can take your faith and you can set it right over there in the corner, and you can walk out of your house in the morning and not take it with you. Did you know that? Not have it. And if you do, you are an unprotected soldier in battle. You're an individual who has exposed himself to the fiery darts of the wicked one. And folks, he's still firing the darts, is he not? The Bible tells us that he's firing the darts. How do I know that? Because the Bible warns against so many things, doesn't it? I beseech you therefore, brethren, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. 1 Peter 2:11. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 16:18. Jesus said, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the things which he possesseth. Luke 12:15. But I believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they're of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. 1 John 4:1. Satan is hurling the darts of lust and of pride and of false doctrine and of covetousness. All the ones he's thrown in the past, he's still firing at man today. And you walk out your door and you leave the shield of faith, folks, you will be destroyed if you do. I have to take faith. I have to pick it up. And I have to maneuver it. And I have to wield it so that the enemy cannot get to me. You turn over to James 2:14. What doth it profit? If a man say he hath faith and hath not works, can faith save him? You can walk out the door all you want to and have in your head some mental belief. Yep, I believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. I believe there's a God out there. But folks, if that faith doesn't work, if there's no activity, if there's no energy, if there's no wielding of that shield in battle, that faith does you zero good. If a man say, I have faith and I have works, show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works, James 2:18. Folks, you can say you've got all the faith you want to, but if that faith isn't working, if that faith is not active, if that faith is not living, if that faith is not being practiced, it does you no good. So what is faith? Taking God at His word. Let's just use that definition for a moment. Here's the first point we need to understand. I have to rightly divide the word of truth, don't I? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, 2 Timothy 2:15. There are individuals out there who take the Bible, who don't rightly divide it, and who think that they have faith that protects them against the evil one. That's not the case, folks. My faith has to rightly divide the word of truth. And when I rightly divide the word of God, then I have to take God at His word. The passage is found in John 9, verses 5 and 6. And when Jesus had thus spake, He spat on the ground, and He made spittle out of the clay. And He anointed the eyes of the blind man with the spittle, and said unto him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation, sent. Now, I don't know about you, every bit of that's nasty, isn't it? And guys, that man could have rebelled against every bit of that, couldn't he? Spit! That's gross, isn't it? Most of the time when you hear about spit, it's pretty nasty. I don't want anybody spitting on me. Do you? Pick up a kid, he's sweet as he can be till he spits all over you. He ain't cute anymore, is he? Spits nasty stuff. Jesus spits big on the ground. Can you imagine that? You're not putting that spit on me. And not just spit, but now what does He do? He makes a little bit of mud out of that spittle. That's nice. Yeah, rub that all over me. And that's exactly what He does, doesn't He? He anoints the eyes of the blind man with the clay. That's nasty, folks. If there's anything I know this. There's no power in spit. And there's no power in mud made by spit. And then what does He tell him? He says, why don't you just go down there and why don't you just wash in the pool of Siloam? Can you imagine that man? In the pool of Siloam. I was there yesterday and washed my face good. Nothing happened yesterday. There'd been 1,000 blind men washed their face in the pool of Siloam, and not one of them has been healed to this day. Spit, mud, and water from the pool of Siloam, and you expect me to think I'm going to be healed? Are you kidding me? All kinds of excuses He could have used, couldn't He? But guess what the text says? He therefore went His way and washed His eyes and came again, listen, seeing. What did He do, folks? He took God at His word. That's faith. And when He did, He was rewarded, wasn't He? He went, He washed and came seeing. That's exactly what you and I have to do every day of our lives, don't we? Flee youthful lusts. 2 Timothy 2, verse 22. Take God at His word. Be careful, anxious for nothing. Don't worry. James 4, verse 6. God hath not given us a spirit of fear, 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. Do the will of God. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Do not put confidence in man. Put your confidence in God. Psalm 118, verse 8. Don't lean to your own understanding. Put all of your trust in the Almighty. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. He that believes, repents, and is baptized for the remission of sin shall be saved. Mark 16, 16. Acts 2, 38. Acts 22, verse 16. Folks, it's a matter of what? Putting my trust, my faith, my reliance, and my obedience completely, totally in God and nothing else. Taking God at His word. And we're not always good at that, are we? We set that old shield aside and we wonder why in the world we've been wounded. Why in the world we're crying. Why in the world we're laying there on the battlefield almost dead. Why we're so weary. Folks, take the shield of faith. Because with it, you can quench what? All the fiery darts of the wicked. You see, it is our frontline defense, isn't it? Behind that, I've got my belt of truth on. Behind that, I have the breastplate of righteousness on. Behind that, I have my feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. But above all, I take the shield of faith. It's my front line of defense against Satan. But I have to wield the shield, don't I? I've got to move it in and out, backwards and forwards, up and down. And if I do, there is nothing that Satan can bring against me that can defeat me, folks. Now listen to John. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. 1 John 5, verse 4. Folks, we've got to develop our faith, don't we? We've got to become a people of faith, full of faith. And never, ever put that shield aside. Maybe you've done that. Maybe Satan's wounded you. Maybe you're not as strong as you need to be. You need to ask God to forgive you, to heal you, to cleanse you of sin. Pick up that shield again and put it in front of you. And tell the evil one, you will not win this war. You will not take my life. I will be victorious over every onslaught you bring my way. Maybe you've never put on Christ. You've never put on any of the armor. And you need to do that tonight by being obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Folks, cast off that old way of living. Destroy that old man of sin. Be baptized, immersed into Christ, and rise a new creature in Christ. Having put on Jesus Christ. It's no longer you that live. It is Jesus who lives in you.